It's PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Shree, special guest host Jackie Danowski from Flywheel, and I'm PVSB, also from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 29th, an ACDS annual week, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them masterfully intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com, it's retail right now. Sheree, lead us off, would you?
Albertsons has been named the 2024 winner of the Webby Award for People's Voice Top Shopping and Retail App. I am so immensely proud of the shopper experience team, our engineering counterparts, and all of our cross-functional partners across the organization. Cheers to your hard work and customer obsession, said Jill Pavlovich, SVP of Customer Experience at Albertsons. 23 individual Albertsons associates were recognized in earning this award. Congratulations to all of you, and over to you, Melissa.
Best Buy and CNET are combining their ad inventory. Consumer electronics retailer Best Buy and digital publisher CNET are teaming up to create a new retail media model. The electronics retailer and the publisher are combining their ad inventory, allowing advertisers to buy across Best Buy Ads retail media network and alongside CNET's tech review-focused editorial content, and measure whether ads seen on either platform drove sales. In a month-long survey during which CNET content was displayed nationally across Best Buy's in-store TV walls, 86% of respondents said the content made them more confident in their purchases. It also garnered a 25% lift in purchase intent, according to the companies. Super interesting space as retailers continue to look for differentiation.
Thank you, Melissa. The National Association of Chain Drugstore annual meeting set to take place this week in Palm Beach, Florida. The annual meeting of the NACDS is set to begin Sunday, April 27th at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. Featured speakers include Walter Isaacson and Arthur C. Brooks. NACDS annual is noted for the strategic meetings that transpire between retailers, consumer goods manufacturers, sales and marketing agencies, and other ecosystem service partners. If you're on a budget, make sure to get a hot dog at the poolside restaurant at $27. It is the least expensive menu entree offered at this five-star resort. Brian, Sheree, and Andrea are all in attendance this year. Closing it out, Jackie.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free hits shelves. Red Bull is launching a new permanent sugar-free edition this summer. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free combines raspberry and forest fruits with herbal notes of verbena. It is the second new variant introduced by the brand this year, and the first fully sugar-free flavor in its portfolio, aiming to attract new shoppers to the category. Red Bull editions have been largely incremental to the brand, with 50% of edition buyers being new to Red Bull as they grow their flavor offering.
Thank you, Jackie, and welcome as a guest host to the Fresh Four. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Hey, Brian, I know you're like me attending the upcoming NRF Big Show in New York City this January. What's got you most excited about the event?
Well, in the same way that this is a preview of the episode to come, I think one of the most exciting things about NRF is a pre-event that's taking place on Saturday beforehand, which is the event co-sponsored by NRF and our good friends at Stratacache called What's in Store for Retail Media Networks. And during that event, we're going to have a really good day taking a look at the future of retail media networks with a particular focus on how the in-store component of them is evolving. We're going to look at that in a wide range of ways, everything from a content point of view to a monetization point of view to the underlying technology and even some of the legal and privacy issues that are attached to the future of in-store retail media networks, with a wide range of experts and guests and smart people. And well, I'll be there too. So hosting a panel, interestingly, on connected TV and how that's going to tie out to in-store with our good friends from the Trade Desks, 8451 and Meta. But you'll have a wide range of companies there. You'll have Albertsons. You'll have Jeffrey Bustos from the IAB, Andy Murray from the University of Arkansas, Unilever, McKinsey, a whole host of experts providing a point of view on what's in store for retail media networks. So there'll be a link to register for that event in the liner notes to the episode, and hope to see many of you there.
probably already in the CD phase. I was definitely in the 33 and 45 phase of vinyl. I was actually in the Seattle airport. They had a store that had like cassette tapes and vinyl albums. I was amazed, Andrea. It was.
I don't know why we're still hanging on to cassette tapes. I mean, vinyl, I get it. There's like a quality.
I remember growing up with an eight track player in my car.
I don't know. I think we can.
And the sad thing was, is like one of the only ones we had was
awesome.
the soundtrack to the movie Camelot. So those heads go those songs go running through my head on a frequent basis. But then neither here nor there. Andrea, it's really great to have you here.
That's so fantastic.
What we wanted to do today is Andrea and I had the distinct pleasure of attending a conference together in Seattle this week that was hosted by Amazon. And it was called Amazon Accelerate. So we're going to talk about what it was, what we learned, and also what we interpreted as from our perspective, what made it a good or possibly not so good conference. We'll kind of dig into that. But so let me serve this up. So Andrea, for our audience, why don't you describe what was Accelerate? And like, who are the people that were there?
Yeah. Well, first, agreed, Peter. It was super fun to have a couple of days together here in Seattle.
I know. I was like shocked, right? Like, sunshine, I pointed, like, what's that up there?
Amazing.
You said it's sun. It happens occasionally, and I think my response was a broken clock is right twice a day. So, I mean. I know.
What is that orb in the sky? We don't usually see that in the September,
the sun
October
is coming hurling down at us.
Well, for me, it was just such a fun reunion. There were so many, service providers and SaaS companies and, folks kind of in my ecosystem and your ecosystem. And it was a lot of fun to connect with some familiar faces. So Accelerate's Amazon's annual seller conference. And I think up until a couple of years ago, it was primarily just sellers. I think, in the last couple of years, we started to see some vendors also attend, some 1P sellers on Amazon to kind of, learn a little bit more about what Amazon's doing in the seller space. And so the composition was a little bit of a mix, but I would say it was mostly third-party sellers. Some were brand manufacturers. Some were, third-party sellers that were kind of operating as a retailer on Amazon, selling, goods across multiple brands, as well as a good showing of service providers and agencies as well. So a great kind of chance to learn more about what Amazon's up to on the seller side, which is a huge growth channel for them. I think we were talking before we started recording that seller third-party platform units, represent more than 60% of Amazon sales now, and it's growing faster than the consumer business. So it's, makes sense that Amazon's putting a lot of investment behind the seller experience. We're going to talk today about a lot of the things that they announced were launching for sellers. But it was a great show. Amazon did a really nice job putting it on. It was very well organized. They had a little kind of trade show floor with just a handful of service providers that they were in partnership with. As we collectively know, there are a lot more service providers than that, but they had handpicked a few to kind of feature at the show. And then the sessions were really all about, what's new, what's coming down the pipe. And then there were some tracks as well on just sort of optimization. So how to make more of some of the tools and features.
We should make
mention
that one of the principal sponsors of Accelerate was Perpetua, which is a sister company to the company I work for, Flywheel. And we also saw one of the other members of the Fresh Four, Melissa Burdick, who's president of PacView. The PacView Helium 10 team were also there, and they were down on the show floor. This was actually in the new Seattle Convention Center. What a spectacular! I know you're like this
that.
Is
I didn't
nice.
Even know existed. I was driving down there and I'm like, I can't believe we're going to this dump. Like, I mean, I remember our convention center. It's been years since I'd been there. I mean, I go downtown a lot, but not that area of
it
downtown.
Was
and I was
nice.
Like, oh, we have a new convention
what
center.
What a beautiful
so
space.
I didn't even know. It was gorgeous. Lots of light. And I did you notice that they weren't doing any plastic?
I noticed single-use
plastic. So all the everything
the
was
the food was phenomenal. Yeah, I think you and I were absolutely obsessed with the donut wall.
They had a wall of donuts and they were all hanging the donuts.
People would go up and grab a donut and they would eat. And then in the afternoon, it became the wall of macaroons. So it was good food there. Like the food we had at lunch was banh mi and spring rolls and all sorts of great food. So I thought that, you know, that fortune. Yeah, they were.
And fortune cookies sponsored by Perpetua.
That was an interesting one. I did like that. But so it was a really interesting thing. So great venue. We got an idea who was there. So let's talk about first, we're going to talk about some of the people we met there towards the end. But let's talk about what was coming out of Amazon. So my first observation, I will say this, and I noticed this at Unboxed last year, and I certainly noticed this. This was a heavily scripted conference. Okay. That like every word out of every person was read off a teleprompter. There was not, it was kind of like I scheduled spontaneity in my day and I knew exactly what I was going to spontaneously do. That was the only way spontaneity was going to happen on one of these.
Yeah. And I think that one of the sessions you and I sat next to each other, we were like, I think this Q&A is fake. Like they were like, hey, what? Okay. We're now ready to take Q&A. And oh, look on the screen. There was no microphones.
They didn't give us a QR code. So like, whatever, you know, this happens at big companies. We know that. So, but it was definitely heavily scripted. On day one, it was kicked open by Claire O'Donnell, who's the product director from Amazon. She was giving us the introduction, and then the first hour and a half of the morning was just a succession of Amazon people coming on and making big announcements. So why don't we kind of talk about some of these big announcements that happened? I think the first one was the introduction of what was called Supply Chain by Amazon, which encompassed a lot of things. What, from your perspective, were some interesting elements of these new supply chain capabilities that the audience seemed to really like?
You know, and before we dive into that specific one, I think as I look through kind of the notes we made for this and I think about what some of the things we saw, it kind of ties to this theme that we've been talking about at Allum. We're working on our quarterly insights report around like frictionless experience, right? So how do you reduce friction in the entire value chain for the consumer, and in this case for the seller as well. So it's really about like in simplifying and removing friction in discovery, in the activation or purchase, and then in the post-purchase or delivery realm. And that's been a real theme with a lot of the brand manufacturers that we work with. And it was a huge theme at this conference too, because as I look through all of their updates, they're all kind of addressing some point of friction across that value chain. And I think on supply chain from Amazon, my big takeaway was that like if you're a seller and you have your own website, you don't have to, you can just like turn it over to Amazon. Like you don't have to do anything anymore. You just need to, you know, identify the assortment you want to sell and drive the traffic to the site, and they will take care of literally everything from there. That was kind of my takeaway. They had a number of announcements within that, but it removes friction for sellers that maybe find kind of some of those capabilities challenging, or they're piecing together a bunch of different service providers. Like now, Amazon.
I think what's interesting is
everything
who are not sellers don't understand that. There's a term that's used in our industry called winning the buy box. That's about getting the consumer to say, add to cart and check out, right? That is not the end of the journey. For these sellers,
for
the shoppers,
for the sellers,
it is really the beginning of the journey, because everything that happens from that click until it shows up on the door of the person who bought it, every single step is an opportunity to delight or an opportunity to furiate and disappoint a consumer.
To disappoint.
Right. And so what I heard them doing was talking about how they were introducing capabilities like supply chain by Amazon that will help their sellers delight the consumer. Because to your point, it's taking friction out of the process and it's getting product there. I should have mentioned the fact that Claire opened up by saying that the purpose of the conference, there were two goals. One was about driving growth for sellers. The other one, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, is about building a community. And that came out in conversations that we had with some of the sellers later on. But we'll get back to that. But I really think that in the first part about driving growth, the supply chain by Amazon, things like global logistics, right? That's where you're manufacturing over in China. And prior to this, you'd have to get it over here, get it to your warehouse, and then get it over to Amazon's.
Yeah.
Well, now that they'll take it.
And yeah, they'll handle
and
that.
Like, you don't even have to worry about all the forms and everything else. They'll take care of all that. You know, this whole concept of global logistics, or you made a really good point about these sellers. They're not just selling through Amazon, right? They've got their own direct-to-consumer site. They're selling through other marketplaces. And again, if they have a really great experience through Amazon, they still have a big headache in running their lives and their businesses because they have all these other platforms. Well, Amazon comes in and they start saying, we can help you with your multi-channel distribution. You can use our solutions to help you fulfill orders through other marketplaces. Like that is, I mean, that got a lot of big applause from the people in the audience. It was very interesting.
It did. It did. And because that's a big, that's a big headache for sellers that are importing product. And then what we learned from Claire is that, you know, you don't have to just take
it. It's kind of like this full spectrum. You don't have to take it all or nothing.
That matter
you
for can, you.
I'll take this part and this part, but not that part and that part.
Right.
And that was absolutely fascinating. So I thought that, was really, really interesting. Do you remember what was the component the new feature that had everybody, you know, like practically standing up and applauding and screaming that everyone's like, oh my God, yes, that is going to make my life so easier.
Yes, I do. And it was, it's this idea of like using AI to create item listings. And it was incredible what the capabilities that they're launching around that, and a huge pain point. I mean, I used to manage sellers when I worked at Amazon, and in the onboarding process, the place where a lot of them got stuck and a lot of them never moved forward was in the listing phase, like just getting the items listed on the site. And it's a huge pain point for first-party vendors as well. So I'm kind of interested. Huge. It's huge. It's like, I mean, you have to fill out, well, for vendors, it's a new item setup form that includes like, you know, 100 fields for every product. And for sellers, you know, it's a kind of a similar process. And you can, if you have that data, you know, you can use API connections and things like that. But it's still really painful for the large majority of sellers and vendors. And so they announced that now they'll automate that entire process using AI. So you can just like give them
website. I heard
and they'll just go straight.
I think they said like they'll come up with like 20 different ways that you can, you know, that you can get the data from whatever source you have and put it into theirs. And what they'll do is take that and use generative AI to translate that, you know, they'll train against your data set and train against what is considered best in class from Amazon. And the idea is they will then populate the product listing for you. You'll have an opportunity to go and modify that, but it gets you like 95% of the way there.
Yeah.
That is just
huge time savings, huge point of friction for sellers. So really cool tool. And you know, candidly, like curious to see what that does to some of these service providers that do that as part of their business, right? Because that's used to take bodies to do that. Now we're going to do it through AI. So
that almost
it'll be a lot faster and cheaper for sellers.
The donut wall still, it was up there, but by the way, if you haven't seen, if you go to Andrea's LinkedIn page, you'll see some great photos that she took. There's my favorite was the one of us standing in front of the backdrop of Amazon Accelerate with 2023. And we were leaning against each other's hand, stretched out with legs in the air, one leg in the air in each. It was a really fun little picture, but Andrea's got some great shots there of people that she knows from the industry. And it was really, yeah,
you did,
but that was
happy.
Good. You know, what's so funny for that? Accelerate was your kind of conference because very much you're from Seattle. You come from Amazon background. There's a little, I think if I did a 23andMe test of you, there'd be a little Bezos in there, in the DNA. A little creepy, right? But Jeff Bezos rather. But that was definitely your crowd. It wasn't so much mine. Like I was able to, for the most part, fly under the radar versus I know what it's going to be like at grocery shop next week. It's going to be a madhouse. But it was, everyone, and this kind of gets to the community aspect of things, right? They were announcing these things and everybody was like high-fiving, and not they weren't just cheering at the audience. They were high-fiving each other, which meant that it wasn't just people. They were high-fiving colleagues of theirs at their company. A lot of them were high-fiving other sellers, which said that they, to some degree, came there with a little bit of a micro community themselves. And that was kind of the theme of this. So I was really yeah, impressed by that. That was some good stuff.
It is a community. I would definitely characterize it. The sellers are a community. The service provider industry is a community. I think that helps everyone be a lot more successful because if the sellers are communicating with one another, you know, it's a little bit different than brand manufacturers sometimes where they're competitive with one another. But I think the sellers really kind of view themselves as distinct retailers and
I'm remiss in not making mention of another thing that Claire detailed on the page. She talked about there being five focuses for the Accelerate conference. The first one I think we've kind of talked to, which is deliver innovative capabilities. Mm-hmm. So I think, check. Building a valuable and inclusive community. It's not just a valuable, but it's about inclusivity. And I think we heard that chapter and verse from, we should just talk about it right now. Well, you and I had a really great conversation.
So interesting.
With a seller that Amazon helped connect us to. She's from Naperville, Illinois, but she was originally born in Nigeria. It is Toyin Kolawole. She's the CEO of EA Foods. So, what a great story. And we'll go into it in a second, but as she told the story, Andrea and I were just progressively leaning forward in our chairs as she told us the story.
Well, first, she's just a formidable and impressive, business professional. I was listening to her talk, and by the
that's
time
what
she
we
was
said,
done,
like,
I was
like, we looked
what
each other like
my life.
I started a podcast. I just felt so inadequate in her company. She said, "I started.
I worked
with,
at Amazon for a while.
I opened up a facility. It was 5,000 square feet. I had about $1 million of production equipment, and now I'm at 40,000 square feet and $5 million of production equipment. And she's doing, eight figures in revenue. And we're just sitting there listening to her. So Toyin had such a great story. She grew up in Nigeria, somehow got a job in private equity, then emigrated with her family from Nigeria to the United States. Her mother was very inspirational to her and gave her the entrepreneurial spirit. She was always doing lots of different things. I'm trying to remember the elements of her story. Put herself through Northwestern, majored in entrepreneurial studies.
Yeah.
She ended up going to Bain & Company, talked very, the classic chops and how to be a great consultant. So many great business operators have that DNA in them. She went the brand route, and then at some point she decided, I've got to start my own. And she created a food company that makes baking mixes, cookie mixes, so dry ingredient mixes, but with ingredients that are reminiscent of her native Nigeria. But it's interesting. Yeah. I want to go into this, and I really want you to talk about this. She talked about her story of how she started trying to get into brick and mortar.
Yes. So she would go meet with these buyers and was faced with all of their own unconscious biases, right? About who she was and what her products were about. And that, maybe they
look at her and
mass
they say,
market
here
or whatever.
Is a black woman from Nigeria with an accent.
And they would immediately, she said they would immediately say, we don't have, you know, a lot of Nigerian consumers or black consumers or whatever. And they would largely dismiss her before even learning about the products, which aren't necessarily just, you know, for certain populations. I mean, she's got like beetroot powder and all kinds of things. So you know, they were just kind of making assumptions about who she was and what she stood for. And she talked about how Amazon had been such a great platform for her because it's self-service. And so you don't have to get through some buyer. And, you know, we've heard this story a number of different ways. I mean, not necessarily with this particular flavor about Amazon being sort of an equalizer and allows you to bypass tastemakers and people who sometimes think they know what the shopper wants, but maybe don't have all the information. It's such a great equalizer and allows you to just get right to the consumer and see if
and it has for her. It has for her, hasn't it?
And so I thought that was just it has. Yeah. She quickly got, I think she said within the first year, quickly got to like $1 million in sales. And then, they were able to use that as a business case to get, I think, into Walmart, she said.
And we got into the conversation of how if you drive your decisions by demographics, you limit your ability to conceive of what your total market impact could be. And she used a really great analogy. Do you remember what that was, Andrea? It had to do with selling Greek yogurt.
Oh, yeah. So then she turned it back on the buyers and she would say, well, I see you sell Greek yogurt. How many consumers do you have shopping here?
Perfect. If you think that Greek yogurt should only be sold to people of Greek descent, then you're crazy. And what she found from Amazon is, to your point, she was able to present her brand based on the way she wanted to articulate the value of the product and not based upon the way her face looked or how she was dressing. It was about the product. It wasn't about the demographic. Because demographics are, like I will say, income is not an indication of a propensity to buy. It's only an indication of a capacity to buy.
Well, I would encourage anyone listening.
We're going to listen to the episode.
We interviewed her as part. Okay. So go listen to it because she is a riveting human being. Someone who's really interesting to listen to and who has a really cool story. Typical CPGs.
We also asked her about what she was doing here. And she described what she came for last year and what she came for this year. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah. Last year, she talked about how she came for information, for intel, for tools, for training. She came to go to the sessions and learn more about how to be, you know, a really successful seller on Amazon. And she said this year she came for the community because, you know, the seller community is really strong and powerful, and they do help each other out. And she talked about how it can be lonely as an entrepreneur. I can certainly attest to as well, and that importance of having that community to be able to, you know, help you be successful and to, you know, in some cases like commiserate with or strategize with. And she said that that was such an important part of her trip this year.
She was so impressive. I had a couple other conversations with sellers that you weren't a part of because we were kind of dividing and conquering the event. But I spoke with a wonderful fellow, Justin Forsett. He and his brother came up playing football at UC Berkeley. You can get me into a whole nother conversation of why is it UC Berkeley won't, but when they play football, they're Cal. I don't understand that. If they're UC Berkeley, they should be like, if I go to UCLA, I play football for you. And that's another argument. But again, I'm sorry, I'm going down a rabbit hole, people. But he and his, they would talk about the fact that they, what was the inspiration for their business? They said that, as football players, oftentimes they're on the road and then they got to make the bus and, To get clean, they just didn't have they just couldn't get sufficiently clean, satisfactorily clean. They could get moderately clean. So they developed an antimicrobial, antibacterial wipe that they could wipe themselves down with. And they thought, okay, well, this will be really good for athletes. But soon they found other professions like that, truck drivers, firemen. Construction workers, all of these were people that had really value. And then we start talking about how they grow their business. And they said, yeah, we do a lot of advertising and we drive that to Amazon. And I said, so wait a minute, do you run your own D2C mm-hmm. site? And this is going to get back to the whole frictionless thing, right? They said, do you have your own D2C site? So, yeah, we do. I said, but you don't drive your advertising there? And they said, no, we drive it to the Amazon site. And I said, why? And they said, because our goal is to acquire new customers. If they have to come to our site, they will have to fill out all the demographic, you know, their name, address, all that other stuff, fill in their credit card information. I'm a 3P seller. If I drive them to Amazon, I'm going to get that anyhow. My goal is to get that sale done. And if they go to yep. Amazon, they add it to the basket and they buy it and it's done. And then I can show them how good my product is. What a great
yeah.
reason for a brand to say, even though I might make more money on the, you know, the intro to the brand by coming through my own D2C site, I'm going to get more sales. So I'm going to get more pennies of dollar sales and profit by running them through Amazon because it's just going to take that friction out of the process. Wasn't that just fascinating?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's such a great story, and it's not unlike the story.
I promised to introduce them to
each
other.
Another
I said I was because you know we had Sean Riley on. I said, do you know Sean? He goes, no, we.
Oh yeah, that's great.
I'm going to introduce you guys. So Sean, if you're listening to this, I'm going to introduce you to Justin and his brother because I think you guys would have a ball, and I can just imagine the social media mashup of that. So, like I said, the big things we got day one were logistics and then the AI. I mean, like if that's all they did day one, they exceeded expectations, at least based on the response I saw. They could like done.
I mean, they could have packed it up and gone home after day one. They made so many announcements,
but they had more stuff.
Yeah. Just mic drop.
They had more stuff day two. So I think one of the ones that, Andrea, when you go to buy things, particularly like housewares for your house, like what are some of the things that go through your head about should I buy this or should I buy that? Yeah.
Well, I mean, size is so hard online. That's one of the biggest. That's a big problem for furniture as well. And even for consumables, I mean, how many times have you like ordered the ketchup on Instacart and you end up with the tiny one or like the 64 ounce one that you weren't expecting? So size is a really hard thing to capture online. Retailers have tried different things, you know, by putting product next to, you know, something that's more of a standard size so you can get a sense of it. But really, you don't know what it's going to look like in your room until it's in your room. And so they launched View in Your Room. And they had been experimenting with this for a while, but I feel like the tech wasn't very good yet. This tech is getting really good now. So it allows for tabletop view. So you can put it on your table. You can just, you know, put your camera right where you want it to be and you'll get to see it on the screen and you know, kind of, again, removing that point of friction for the shopper around, you know, how big is this and you know, what's it going to be on my counter? What's a funny personal story about this is that I ordered a couple years ago, I had one Instapot And then I wanted one for a different house. And I went to buy one online and I'm like, well, I have a big family. I'm going to get the big
one.
It's
huge.
And have you ever seen the big Instapot? Oh my gosh. I can't even lift it. It's like industrial size, right? So this thing shows up and I'm like, I mean, you can't really return it. It's huge. And I know my carbon footprint and I know Amazon's cost structure and I didn't have the heart to do it. So, I mean, there was like, I didn't even have a cabinet that it fit in. Like it was so big and, you know, tools like this really help prevent situations like that where you have to, I had to like take a shelf out of a cabinet to like put this huge Instapot in there. So really, really amazing tool. I think that's going to help.
One of the things we heard from sellers was when we asked them, because I was asking people, what tools and insights drive the most value for you? And back to Toyin, the one that she just called out immediately was she said, ratings and reviews. Like she said, I scour 100%. Those. Not just my reviews, but my competitors' reviews, because I need to know where their weaknesses are so that I can make my products that much better. And then my listing, my SEO will be that much better than theirs. And so Amazon announced a whole bunch of things around customer sentiment insights, like tools to make it easier than sitting there and like reading 16,000 reviews to try and call out. So that seemed to be something that people were pretty excited about.
Yes. I mean, mining custom, both know the importance of user generated content. And obviously that's a lot of your background. But it's so valuable for consumers. It's really valuable for brand manufacturers if they could just
source for innovation.
Mine it. I mean, that's a big challenge area, right? It's like, yeah, and it's ripe for AI because AI does such a great job of taking unstructured data and structuring it. And customer reviews are unstructured data. And Amazon has started already, summarizing some of the customer review data. So I don't know if anyone's noticed, but now when you go down to look at customer reviews on a lot of pages, it'll say customers liked X, Y, and Z about this product.
They're basically finding those common things. And word groups.
Yeah. Comment. Yeah. They started with like the word clouds. They were doing the word clouds for a while. I don't know how valuable that is. Now they're doing a little more summarizing, but this takes it one step further to insights. And so in seeing, you know, what this looks like, it's really more about showing the brand manufacturer what the, you know, what the challenges are or what the, complaints are about the product or what the things are that the shopper loves about the product and turning that into insight. Like these are some things you might want to make changes to. And I think translating
another thing they touted was an enhancement to Buy with Prime. Now, for those of you, what is Buy with Prime first of all? And what was the big thing that they announced that they seemed to think would delight customers using Buy with Prime as a purchasing mechanism?
Well, I mean, the Buy with Prime is being able to use your Prime membership for free shipping
and payment, right? It's the ability to go to, again, that whole concept back to why Hustle Clean was driving people to Amazon's site, because it's the account. This is about a payment mechanism, credit card or Apple Pay or Buy with Prime. So you can connect your Amazon. The problem with doing that is that it doesn't allow you to build a basket across multiple retailers using that capability. You basically have to do a distinct transaction.
Well, and that exactly, and that's why retailers exist and why they're successful, because they help us.
Well, the great thing about marketplaces
and aggregate where the, and that's what Amazon's a marketplace, right? So you're not having to.
This all of a sudden says, okay, we're going to allow where the next enhancement to Buy with Prime is. It's going to have a basket function within Buy with Prime, and you can add items to it from different retailers that are outside of the Amazon marketplace, but leverage Buy with Prime, and they can say, we can add that there. And then you can do a single transaction for multiple different storefronts. Yeah,
it's kind of like a unified cart across different storefronts.
I mean, conceptually, I see the value in it. I'm trying to think, do I do enough? Like for me, and I was pretty honest, I think I told you about this. Like when I see things on Instagram that I want to buy, because I buy a lot. I would like to say I buy a lot of off Instagram. The more accurate description is I buy a lot that is inspired by Instagram, because the reality is that I see something on Instagram. I look at what the price is and immediately I toggle over to Amazon. I search for the same thing. Invariably, I find it there and it's for a better price. Yep. And I can just add it to my cart and it's there in 2 days. Right. So I'm sitting here going, for me, I don't know that buy with Prime cart feature would be fundamentally important, but you know, I don't understand TikTok and that doesn't mean that it's not a meaningful platform.
Well, I think it depends how much
you understand TikTok. I still don't understand.
It depends
TikTok.
How much.
I'm still trying to find the password for my MySpace account. I don't know where I put it. I wrote it on a post-it note and put it on top of my phone and I don't know where it went.
I think it depends how much shopping the shopper is doing across other websites. I mean, I think it's also addressing a change to how the shopper is, you know, how they're transacting now. A lot of shoppers are adding things to carts kind of throughout the week or month and waiting until they kind of get to a point where either they're hitting, I mean, not necessarily the case with Buy with Prime, but hitting a free shipping threshold or able to collate enough of the products into one delivery day or whatever the use cases they're trying to solve for, maybe, you know, reducing packaging, whatever. And this allows them to do that across multiple retailer sites as opposed to having each retailer be individual. I think there's also, I mean, from Amazon's perspective, it probably drives some traffic back to Amazon at the end of the day. Like if you're adding things to your Prime cart throughout the week from other websites, and then you want to go back to Amazon and see it all together probably. So yeah, probably drives some extra traffic for them. It's a win-win.
You mentioned that because underpinning everything we're talking about, like you said, driving traffic back to Amazon. We've talked about this on camera, off camera, on mic, off mic, but I describe the difference between Walmart and Target as Walmart is a grocer that sells mass merchandise and Target is a mass merchant that sells groceries. There is a major distinction between that and how Walmart has succeeded during the inflationary phase is because people consolidate around their primary grocer, and that was to the detriment of Target. Outwardly, people think of Amazon as a retailer. Is Amazon a retailer that sells advertising? What do you think?
I think they're an advertising and media platform and supply chain.
Right, because that drives traffic to where they make their money. If you look at the breakdown, where they make their profit is what's funding their ability to do creative things like get into the healthcare space or introduce these new capabilities. This is about facilitating.
Yes.
Sellers offer products. They bring consumers. Consumers are exposed to advertising, which they sell to sellers. I mean, it's just, that's what this is about at the end of the day, right? Yep. Absolutely. They also talked a lot about things that frustrate sellers, returns. Return. So they announced a new Fit Insights capability. It's a new feature that will use machine learning and AI to review size charts. And this is where it ties into feedback from ratings and reviews, like the ability to ask, is it true to fit? Is it a bit larger?
Yeah.
And it suggests fixes to sizing charts and how you're sizing your product. Why is that good?
Yeah, I'm just looking at my phone right now because I have some photos on here that I took or that I have of the of some of these insights and how they show those to the sellers, which is kind of interesting. Well, it reduces
especially
returns
in clothing,
and
right?
Returns are super
in clothing,
costly, especially
deal.
In the fashion space. Yeah, and they Yeah, so they've already started letting you know what size they think you should wear, which I think is interesting. It's kind of
you want a size six
return rates and things like that.
You might want to up that a little bit. I would never tell my wife what size to buy. I'm like, buy whatever size you want. I am out of that discount. But maybe Alexa is okay doing that. Yeah,
they tell you if it runs small. They tell you what size they recommend, and then now they've started telling you something.
Isn't that interesting? High return rate.
So it encourages you. This item has a high return rate. Make sure to read the customer reviews to understand why. And so you go down and you read them, and sometimes customer reviews are you. Well,
how
let
does
me tell
that
Peter
work?
What how user generated content Novel. Works. this is what you do. But I think what's so interesting about user generated content is just because something has a high return rate and I look and see why doesn't mean that it's going to have a high return rate for me. Like maybe there's something that was confusing about the product information, or maybe it has a feature that I was looking for that those people weren't looking for. So I think that calling attention to that is so helpful to the shopper journey, again, removing friction. Because it's also getting harder to return stuff on Amazon. I just took a bunch of stuff to Whole Foods last night because now they charge.
Yeah, I went to the is Kohl's still doing that? Because I used to return things to Kohl's.
They were, as of like three months ago, which is the last time I did that.
Novel approach, because they would just drive consumers into their physical stores for returns, and they would give them one of their classic 25% off coupons that you had to use while you were in the store, and it drove a whole lot of incremental sales. So I thought that was a really interesting way to drive customers into that retailer. There were a lot of other things they were doing. Those were the ones, you know, from my perspective that was there anything else that in particular you wanted to highlight? To me, that was kind of like the big thing, but underpinning all of this was the whole community. It was very clear this was a tight community. They used the hashtag Amazon Accelerate. And if you go to LinkedIn, put it in there, because what was most interesting to me was photos like Srinath Reddy, who is IntentWise. He posted a picture 2 days ago where he ran into a guy on the airplane going to Seattle, and they were both going to Accelerate, and how excited they were to do that. And they did a selfie together. I thought that was awesome. Like it really had a tight community feel to it.
I just felt
I've been to big conferences. I think about Shop Talk, right? And as much as I know a lot of people there, I really felt they're very disparate types of groups. There's the brand, there's the retailer, there's the analytic service provider, this felt much like a much tighter community than most conferences I go to.
I think the size helps a lot with that. I mean, you go to Shop Talk or Grocery Shop, and you're lucky if you run into the person you want to run into. And I would say here, we just kind of kept seeing one another over and over again.
I'm 6'4", so it's kind of hard to miss me in the crowd. So. And he was like, where's Peter? Oh, there he is. There's the lighthouse. There we go. But it was my first sellers conference. I hope it's not my last. I want to thank the people at Amazon for reaching out to me. Also, the PR team that supported us, they were so communicative. They set up so many interviews with us. They made sure we were on track. I mean, it was from a media tycoon like me, I got the white glove treatment going to this event.
Yeah, they really did treat us like royalty. I mean, I thought that was pretty impressive. They were just really, they wanted to make sure that we had a good experience as press, that we had everything that we needed, that we had access to all the people that we needed access to.
I got personally escorted to the room for the kickoff speech. I thought that was incredible. Like, oh, you're here. Great. Let's walk you right up. And it was really nice. They had a lovely little cocktail party the night before. Though it was a little strange for me because I came to really realize that a large percentage of the sellers on Amazon tend to be in both the fashion and the beauty space. And so I walked in and the people in the media cocktail party were mostly like fashion and beauty bloggers that were like a third of my age. So I didn't have a lot of conversation to talk to them when I was there, but it was very interesting. I'm sure
that sounds like a pretty fun group. I think I would have loved to have met some of them.
I was sitting there going, I am so a fish out of water in this group. Like, where's the geriatric crew? I need to get with my people here. But in all seriousness, the Amazon team was top notch professional at coordinating everything for us. I know we gave them some grief about very scripted presentations, but they communicated everything they needed to, and they really moved everything. It was kind of like going to Disney World, and you know, there's a whole world going on underneath the amusement parks where everything's moving around. You never know where the garbage goes, right? The trains were all moving. Everything was great. I thought they did. I'll give them 10 out of 10 on the, you know, managing the logistical operations of this event.
Yeah, they really ran a nice tight ship and kept everything on time.
So, Andrea, aren't you sick of seeing me? I don't suppose, you know, can you quit me? You want to get together in Vegas?
What are you doing next week, Peter?
You want to go to Vegas? You know, I know.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of each other this month, Peter, between that and Unboxed and Ad Week.
A lot of people think it's a big going to grocery shop. That's a hot ticket. I hear there's a hotter ticket at grocery shop. We're not talking about it too much, but I hear the even hotter ticket than grocery shop is going to the CPG guys party at grocery shop. So,
yes.
which is sponsored by
yes,
and PackView. I know it's group, great. PackView, so we've got CPG the Fresh guys. 4 team. We've got the CPG guys, Loom Group, PackView. It's like it's a big family affair, and we're throwing a little party. It's an invite only. Sorry, create a little FOMO, but that's going to be a big event. It's so many of our friends. We got some big announcements that we'll share after as it relates to some of the activities that we do. So all sorts of really interesting things going on. I've had a lot of people reach out. It's like, hey, I heard just last night, I'll shout out to my friend Whitney Cooper. Whitney's like, Peter, Austin over at Sam's Club keeps telling me about this party. And like, now I've got major FOMO. Should I read something into this? I'm like, Whitney, I told you I already registered you. Don't worry, you're in. She goes, what do you mean? I'm like, so I never got anything. I said, because I didn't have to send you the registration link because I just did it for you. Of course we want you there. And it's like right next door to where the Walmart party is an hour later.
It's fantastic.
So, you know, you're going to be there. Like, we're going to have all your friends there, from Walmart Connect and leave you outside of the velvet rope line. I don't think so. But all seriousness, we're going to have some fun in Vegas. At grocery shop, it'll be great. It'll be great fun. We can continue on all the fun we had this week in Seattle, right?
That's awesome. Well, looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing a lot of our listeners. It should be a great conference.
All right.
And yeah.
All right, everybody. Andrea,
catch up with everyone
there. Joining me for this. A lot of fun just doing our little spiel and our thoughts on the Accelerate conference. We'll do that. And we're probably going to have to do this again next month for Amazon Unboxed, right? We got to go do that too. So, all right, everyone. Thanks for listening to us in our rank punditry. We greatly appreciate it. And make sure if you're not already subscribing to the CPG Guys Fast Forward podcast, we interrupted the host of this, Brian Gildenberg, to basically, usurp his seat and take it over so that we could push this out. But subscribe to this podcast, just like you're subscribing to CPG Guys, our flagship podcast. And that way you can get more. Because can you ever get enough of this crew? I mean, I can't. All right, Andrea, good talking to you. Take care, and everyone have a great weekend. Bye.
All right, take care.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.